2014, Eugene made some news by being a city with some of the most ambitious climate goals in the country. Yet in 2020 and 2019, when these negotiations first started happening, they had done relatively little to actually implement those goals. And so what we started asking for was that the city work to renegotiate the franchise agreement to create kind of enforceable regulation on Northwest Natural in line with the goals that are overwhelmingly supported by the residents in Eugene. And so what we're doing here in Eugene is experimenting with this franchise agreement and seeing how far can we push franchise agreement negotiations to use them to implement our climate action plan at the city level, and to really give those ambitious climate goals we set in the early 2010s some teeth to make a measured transition away from frack gas and towards renewable energy, which we know is, you know, not only better for the climate, but also safer for people's health.
My name is Dylan Plummer, and I'm the grassroots organizer with Cascadia Wildlands. Cascadia Wildlands is a bioregional environmental and climate justice nonprofit dedicated to defending public lands, protecting imperiled species, and resisting fossil fuel infrastructure throughout the Cascadia bioregion of Oregon and Washington.
So tell us a little about the agreement that's set to lapse with Northwest Natural in Eugene.
So in 2019, the franchise agreement that the city had with Northwest Natural, our local fracked gas utility, expired. And so instead of the city just signing back on to another 20-year agreement, which essentially just gives the fracked gas utility access to our public right-of-way, and kind of gives them a free pass to do whatever they want, whether it's building new pipelines or expanding or repairing existing infrastructure. Our community asked our city council to instead renegotiate that agreement to include our climate recovery ordinance goals. I think there was a wave in the early 2010s of cities saying, you know, we're going to put these non-binding climate goals in place, and then, you know, 10 years down the line, we're looking back and seeing that, you know, not only did we not reduce emissions, but oftentimes our cities actually increased emissions. And one of the big players in that has been increasing our national reliance on fracked gas for heating and for other building appliances. There's also been, in recent years, a wave of cities really taking on the fracked gas industry. So there's been over 40 cities in California, in Washington, and some on the East Coast actively taking measures, passing binding ordinances to stop the construction of new fracked gas hookups in buildings and to actively regulate and transition away from this climate polluting fuel.
My name is Tim Morris. I am the board president of the Springfield Eugene Tenant Association. I'll go back between our title and our acronym, which is CETA. So CETA is a 501c3 nonprofit dedicated to renters' rights and service. And as an organization, we have a free hotline where tenants can call in, ask questions, you know, get answers and, you know, share their concerns. We're able to provide information and resources if possible. And one of the things that we are able to do that no other organization or, you know, what we really see is we're able to really listen into the conversations of the phone calls that we get from people that are really in crisis or in need and hear what the issues really are. So we're directly connected with tenants that are struggling. And so our demographic is primarily low income. Over 70% of our callers are low income. We serve a lot of families with children, people that have people that identify with disabilities, the elderly community, communities of color, and really are dedicated to supporting these, but also recognizing that sometimes that service goes beyond, you know, being able to answer a hotline call and do that. It's advocating for folks as well and trying to bring some systemic changes. And so that's why CETA has joined this coalition, and we're excited to continue the conversation about how climate change is really affecting tenants.
And Tim, through your work, are you seeing the effects of this fracked gas that tenants are using in their own homes?
When it comes to the difference in a home between electric and gas, it actually is cheaper to have electric in your unit. And we know that a lot of homeowners are struggling to make that transition to change from gas into electric. It is a little bit more expensive upfront to get new appliances and super get that. But for renters, that choice is not there. They don't have a choice of what kind of unit they're living in. They don't have a choice of how their health is going to be impacted by gas. And primarily what we're seeing is that for gas units, it's more expensive to live there. However, more lower income people are living in units that have gas rather than having electric. So more lower income tenants in our community are being negatively affected with their health, their financial situations, and so many, you know, in so many other aspects because of the natural gas that's already in our infrastructure. Gas has a huge impact towards people's health. That absolutely also primarily affects communities of color and lower income renters. And we can see that particularly in the Bethel neighborhood, where the air quality is so bad that some tenants and residents that live there talk about how they don't send their children outside to play because they know how bad it's going to get. How asthma rates are much higher just in that small community compared to the rest of Eugene. It's been kind of a struggle. Really highlighting the climate change issues that happen because of natural gas or because of poor air quality or pollution. But also it's been really, really difficult to highlight how many lower income renters and how many communities of color are being impacted because they don't have a choice in whether or not that they can move into an apartment that has gas or move into an apartment that has electric.
Monday's city council meeting was a turning point in the campaign. Here's Councillor Claire Syrett with her statement regarding Northwest Natural.
We would do better with an agreement than without one. I agree. I think that is true. But the issue is that when you have an agreement between two parties, both parties have to be in agreement. And right now, Northwest Natural is not showing a willingness to meet us in this agreement on the terms that we as a council would all, a majority would vote for. And we aren't seeking an adversarial relationship, and choosing not to renew the franchise agreement isn't going to put us in one unless that is the choice of Northwest Natural. So I wish I could be as hopeful as Councilor Zelenka is that they will move towards our position and will work with us as a true partner. I am seeing a lot of evidence that it is not their true disposition to do that, and not much evidence that they are truly seeking to work with us to reduce greenhouse gases.
That was Councillor Claire Syrett of the Eugene City Council. And here's Councillor Jennifer Gay's statement.
Initially, because I felt like having Northwest Natural as a partner in this effort would be ideal, it seems that dragging out these unsuccessful negotiations is not going to benefit anyone. And it's time to look for different ways for us to achieve our climate recovery goals concerning the use of natural gas. At all points in the extraction, processing, transportation, and use of natural gas, toxic pollutants are released into our environment. This harms our land, our climate, and ourselves. We cannot continue using fossil fuels like we have in the past. If Northwest Natural does not want to be a partner in reducing these negative impacts, then we need to find other ways to protect our community as a community.
That was Councillor Jennifer Yeh of Eugene. Dylan, I'll let you tell us a little bit about the meeting, and if you could, talk about the significance of letting the agreement with Northwest Natural lapse.
So these negotiations have been behind closed doors up until now, but we're really optimistic that our city council is going to tell Northwest Natural and tell the city that they're going to walk away from the franchise agreement negotiations as they currently stand, because Northwest Natural is not cooperating and is actively being a bad actor in these negotiations when it comes to implementing the climate recovery ordinance goals that our city passed and that are widely supported by our residents. We're expecting the city to take bold action to really implement those ambitious goals that we set years ago, and to put our city back on track to be a leader in climate action.
Northwest Natural also gave testimony at Monday's council meeting. Here's Catherine Williams, Vice President of Public Affairs and Sustainability.
Northwest Natural has been a willing partner for the past several years to help reduce emissions in Eugene. And we don't believe the direction discussed tonight is in the best interest of our customers, community, or the climate. A mandate on electric equipment that takes away choice may be a well-intentioned gesture, but it's an ineffective and expensive way to combat climate change. All forms of renewable energy are needed in a balanced low-carbon future. That's why Northwest Natural is moving forward with our plan for a carbon-neutral pipeline by 2050. We will continue to work at the state level to lower our emissions, so no matter the outcome, we know we are on the right path.
The biggest barrier here to the transition is the obfuscation of science by the gas industry and their kind of continued work in the political sphere to undermine climate action and what we know is also action for increased public health and safety, whether that's through their PR campaigns, whether that's through litigation and or lobbying. And another thing that's incredibly disturbing that the frack gas industry has been undertaking is actually financially incentivizing for residents to switch from electricity to gas. And electricity here in Oregon is actually generally pretty climate neutral or carbon neutral, in that the majority of it's coming from hydropower. So when the frack gas industry is financially incentivizing people to switch from their electric appliances to gas, they're dramatically increasing the emissions of households and providing an active barrier towards any kind of transition away from fossil fuels. So not only is frack gas not a bridge fuel, but the frack gas industry is literally working to take us steps back in our efforts to moving towards renewable energy.
Grassroots organizers like yourself have spent countless hours researching and talking to folks, doing publicity. But being in Eugene, your efforts have encouraged the local government there to actually consider putting their money where their mouth is, so to speak. Do you have any advice for other communities around the country?
I mean, just advice, if you're passionate about something and you see that there's something wrong, it's absolutely so important to come speak up, present, come bring your perspective. And that when, if you're right and you are able, if you're on the right side of history, and you're able to convince, you know, one, two, three people to come, those people can then also convince more, and then you can grow a coalition, just like what happened with this fossil-free Eugene coalition that's begun.
You've been listening to interviews with Dylan Plummer of Cascadia Wildlands and Tim Morris of the Springfield Eugene Tenants Association. Additional audio is from Councilors Claire Syrette and Jennifer Ye of the Eugene City Council, as well as Catherine Williams of Northwest Natural. Learn more about the Grassroots Climate Campaign and the Fossil Free Eugene Coalition at 350eugene.org. You can also find more information about this program at kboo.fm. For KBOO News in Depth, I'm Nat Moon.